Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Dolan. Thanks for listening to my East Coast talk for a 21st century world, because it is a 21st century world, and we're going to talk about that. We've got some good things to talk about today, but first I want to thank yesterday's guest, Jeannie McDonald, celebrity medium and psychic. I mean, we had a great time. Thanks so much to Jeannie for coming in for opening day, the premiere of the show, Tola Talks. We had a blast, so check it out on latalkradio.com. My homepage is /tola.php for personal homepage. So check it out. It should be a lot of fun for you. And today we have one of my dear friends, awesome guest today, Troy Titus Adams, actress. You're going to love her. We'll talk about Troy. Troy's going to come in here in a few minutes. So let's talk about a few other topics for today. It's Tuesday, right? So Tuesday is Top 10 Tuesday. And today we're going to discuss my top 10 most frightful pickup lines. You're going to love those. It's coming up on Halloween, so we're going to talk about those and have some fun with that. And we're coming to you live from Los Angeles. So those of you who know Los Angeles, it's always beautiful and sunny. Love this place. It's 82, maybe 83 degrees today, so we're going to have another glorious day here. But I also want to give a shout-out to my friends out in Chicago. That's you, Gina Marie, if you're listening, and all the folks over at Northwestern. As you know, I went to grad school there at the Kellogg School of Management. It's going to be 77, 78 degrees and sunny there, kind of like L.A. weather. Beautiful, beautiful time for Chicago. As well, I want to wish all the students out there who are going back to school today, good luck, kids. I mean, you got to stay in school. And one thing I will say, doing well in school is a function of time, right? You got to study. Study, it's all about putting in the time. Definitely go to class. Class is the most important because you're going to learn through osmosis for sure. But put the time in. Put the time in. Kick it on your studies. Get the A's. Whatever you can, go for the A. Don't settle for a B, C. Shoot for the A because, hey, anybody can go for that. So let's get right into it here. Let's talk about what's going on in the news. Because today I'm on the internet doing some research for the show, and all you hear about is the latest craze. What's the latest craze? Celebrity nude photos. Okay, come on, let's talk about this now. Everybody's hearing all about it. The FBI is on the case. When I hear those words, I'm like, what the hell is going on? Jennifer Lawrence, Kate Upton, Victoria Justice, Ariana Grande, Kirsten Dunst, Hope Solo. The list goes on and on and on. So first of all, let me give you my opinion on what's happening with this craze. Because are these celebrities really nude? Because that's a bunch of bullshit to me. I know a particular hacker, an 18-year-old guy. I met this guy years ago who was, we're just checking the mics here. Okay, go. The volume's a little high. Okay, thank you. Yeah, we're checking it. Well, new to the show here, so we're going to play with the volume, so hopefully that's a little better for you folks. But getting back to this, right, do I really think that these photos are real? Probably not. I mean, nowadays, I mean, there's holograms of Michael Jackson and, you know, Tupac that are so real, it's ridiculous. The same thing goes with photos. Anybody could take a photo, a head, you know, Photoshop it. I mean, nowadays, technology, forget about it. It's so easy to take a photo of a nude person and now call it Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, Jennifer Lawrence, why does she need to put those photos? If she does take nude photos, why does she want to put those photos out? She doesn't need to. For Jennifer Lawrence, I mean, she's photographed if she's eating a slice of pizza. Come on, these ladies are in the news all the time. I mean, here, I'll give you a quick story. I was in Beverly Hills. This was about a year ago. If you know Los Angeles is a place where you never want to cross the street in the middle of the road there. In New York, you do it all the time. Nobody crosses the street at the corner in New York because it's probably more dangerous. More accidents happen at intersections than they do in the middle of the road because the roads are, quite frankly, the roads are one way. So it's kind of easier to just cross. Well, in Los Angeles, you can't do that. I've been stopped by a cop once who wanted to give me a ticket for crossing before the light was, well, forget about it. Everybody knows LA. Play by the rules in LA, folks. So here I am in Beverly Hills. Beautiful day. I'm ready to cross in the middle of the street because, quite frankly, in Beverly Hills, they let you do that or they don't really come down on you for do that. There was a woman right next to me. Didn't really notice. I was looking to my left She was looking to her left. We start crossing the street together. She was 2 feet next to me. Cross the street. The next thing you know, there was like 20 people swarming at. I thought they were coming after me with the photographers, the paparazzi. It was Bryce Howard who, like, we stopped in the middle of the road, and I was like, "What the hell is going on?" And she like kind of put up her hands, like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa," you know. And it was like, "Hey, these paparazzi are all over." So again, these celebrities, do they really need to put themselves out there with nude photos? We're not talking about sex tapes here. We're talking about photos. Anybody. And if you're getting your jollies about looking at nude photos, I mean, hey, that's like back in the 60s. I remember when I was 6 years old, 1969. Yeah, Playboy was the greatest thing in the world. I mean, you couldn't wait to get your hands on a Playboy to look at nude photos. But that's when you're 6 years old or 8 years old. Or maybe I was a little young at the time. But you know what I'm talking about. Hey, if you're going to do this, or if you do want to take a nude photo, hey, back in the day when I was dating all these women, I mean, it wasn't about taking a nude photo. It's maybe a sexual act, perhaps. But, well, nowadays there's Snapchat, right? 20 seconds, it goes away. So if you're into photos, use the Snapchat, because, hey, why not? I mean, that's the way it goes. Getting into sort of like nude, let's talk about my Get Your Shit Together Award. You know how we do this every day? We're going to do a Get Your Shit Together Award for those individuals, companies, whatever, that really need to get their shit together when it comes to putting out something into the universe. And I did a whole podcast about this. Check it out on richtola.com. There's 30 episodes of Get Your Shit Together. Everything from working out to, hey, how to manifest good health. But check it out. Get your shit together. But more importantly, we are going to give this award. Let me talk about this for a second, because this actually, another one of my assistant producer, Yasmin, came up with this yesterday. She goes, "Rich, check this out. It's the 6th annual Air Sex World Championships." Okay. Air Sex World Championships. At first I said, what the hell is that? I know what like the guitar, you know, air guitar is. What the hell is air sex? Okay. And now this is quote from the tour's commissioner. It says, "The Air Sex Championship is not only the world's greatest form of entertainment." Holy shit. That's me quote. "It's also educational and inspiring. It's a celebration of sex, a positive sex show. You're making love to an invisible person or object." Well, let me tell you, I go to the internet today, I got to look at these videos. I'm thinking, let me look at these videos of these Air Sex World Champions, which is actually judged by a porn star and the audience, I guess, right? Holy cow. First of all, I saw a lot of large men with really large love handles trying to make love to a pumpkin. I was like, what the hell is going on? Here's a guy licking the pumpkin. He's grinding with the pumpkin. I'm like, this is that's like insane. I don't know where the hell this 21st century world is going, folks, but if that's what it's come. Now, this is the 6th annual. Okay. And the guy who started this, I mean, that guy looks like he belongs on Duck Dynasty. I mean, the last thing I want to do is ever see that guy nude, first of all, and to even see that guy grinding. I don't know. You know, I'm really confused here. I remember back in the day where it's like, hey, you want to find enjoyment? Go climb a mountain. You know, go run around the block. Go do something that's kind of physical fitness related. If you're getting up there grinding in the middle of the air with some imaginary, then I saw some women up there. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to do that, I mean, there's so much porn on the internet these days. You might as well watch the real thing. I mean, the girls are a lot hotter too. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on in the 20th century, because hey, also think about this. You're out there grinding in the air. Well, guess what? Skin to skin contact, it's a positive thing. Take a look at the research. Touching makes you healthier. No doubt. I mean, go check it out. Research this. Skin-to-skin stroking floods us with oxytocin, right? Which is called the cuddle hormone. Check it out. And other feel-good endorphins like dopamine, right? Check it out. Lowers your blood pressure, lowers your heart rate, right? Increases your immune functions. It relieves pain, makes you happier, less anxious. There's so much to say about skin-to-skin contact. I mean, it's great for, I mean, especially when women have babies. I mean, it's all about the skin-to-skin contact. So here we go. Air Sex Championships. I'm not sure now. I think it's a tie. Who's going to get the award? Is it the championship in and of itself, right, the competition? Or is it the people
applying and participating. I'm going to give it a tie. We're giving it both. They're getting both awards. So the Get Your Shit Together Award for today goes to the organization / championships, and it goes to all the contestants that are out there grinding in the air who probably aren't getting laid anyway, so that's how they take it out. So, hey, there you go. That's our award for today. I get a kick out of that. All right, so let's move right into the health and fitness tip of the day. Everybody knows, go check out, hey, if you want to go for, get some free workouts, my YouTube channel on YouTube, it's Boulevard Zen. You could spell that out. Or go to my website, right, richtola.com. Check out workouts. There's a lot of free workouts out there. And what I did, this was last summer. It's pretty cool. I was contacted by Lance Armstrong's company, livestrong.com and ehal.com. And they asked me if I would do 10 videos for them that are all about health and fitness. And let me give you a list. And these are also on my website. Check it out under the workouts tab. These are free. Or go to the internet, research. There's a lot of workouts. About 150 workouts on YouTube because I'm all about empowering people with short 5-minute, 10-minute, 15-minute workouts that you could do. People who don't work out or not into it because, hey, it's all about, to me, the whole basis in life is about having a strong body, clear mind. That's why I work out every single day, truly, every single day. We'll talk about that. So here you go. These are the 10 videos I did. The first one I really like, how to burn belly fat and lose weight with a 7-minute interval workout. Check it out. Really good one. Number two, how to do a back stand. That's like a back bend. Hey, in yoga, that's a popular one. Check that one out. Number three, how to do a handstand and touch your feet to your head. Well, let me give you a caveat here. I actually did a one-arm pinchy Myurasana, if you know that, that's scorpion pose, because doing a handstand, touching your feet to your head and trying to do 10 takes of that, I had a great cinematographer, but he said, you know, we're going to do this a few times, so I'm like, well, let me do the one-arm pinchy Myurasana, touch my feet to my head, so check that one out, but I wouldn't recommend trying that unless you're experienced. Number four I did was how to know your weight to waist ratio. That's a pretty easy one. That's pretty straightforward. Number five I did how to roll on the ground. Well, actually, you know, if you're ever in a fire, that's something you really should know. Number six was how to roll after a jump. That's a pretty good one too. Not that you're ever going to need to do that. How to warm up for squats was number seven. Really good one, especially if you're in the weight room and you're not that familiar with squats. Number eight was how to look for a yoga teacher trainings in Macomb County, Michigan. And when I asked them, I'm like, wait a minute, yoga teacher trainings, that kind of applies to everything in the whole world. I did the yoga teacher training, 200 hours worth. So, hey, there you go. If you're interested, go check it out. You can learn that. And we did number nine was yoga shoulder shrugs. Really good one for your neck. Good for your shoulders as well. So you could check that one out. But the last one is what the health and fitness tip of the day is all about. And that's number 10 was how to stay active all day, okay? Because that's the key, people, especially nowadays when you're sitting on your phone, your smartphone, and you're looking at nude photos or Photoshop photos of people that you think are celebrities, all that bullshit. Well, guess what? Here's what you do. Two words, keep moving. No matter what you do, you got to keep moving throughout the day. Don't just get stagnant, okay? Don't sit around eating chocolate ice cream while you're watching daytime television. Don't do that, people. Get up. Keep moving. Go check out that video. That's a good one. Move around. Go up and down stairs. There's so many things you could do except sitting around, especially this time of year, right? September, it's beautiful. Chicago, Los Angeles, everywhere throughout the country, the world. Keep moving. I mean, most other countries, they're already walking. Amsterdam, everybody's walking the streets. Been there, love it, all over the place. So, hey, in Hong Kong, no question, there's millions of people walking on the streets. So you should be doing the same thing, people. That's your health and fitness tip of the day. How do you stay active all day? Keep the body moving, okay? And if your body's in pain, you're a little stiff, stretch it out. There's so many videos. If you don't want to go to my videos, I did 100 videos in a row. It's 100 5-minute fat burning workouts, but they're really all based on yoga. They're low impact workouts, nothing high, no jumping around. Anybody could do them. I did 100 of those, 100 days in a row. That was brutal. You could read about that in my memoir. I mean, that was one of the toughest things I had to do. Come up with the idea for the concept. No two are alike. So there you go. They're free. They're out there. I also have the 15-minute fat-burning workouts because 15 minutes equals 1% of your life. I put that out in a DVD, 7 different workouts, because those are for people who, again, if you don't work out and you're not into working out, that's like me. Like I always make this reference. If someone said that I had to make a gourmet meal, I'd say, I'm never going to do that. Yeah, I could prepare food, which will take me 10 or 15 minutes, definitely using the microwave and boiling some water, but guess what? I'm not going to make a gourmet meal. It's not something I'm ever going to do. So if you're the kind of person who's not into working out, who's not into fitness, and when you meet Troy, our guest, she's truly into fitness. I mean, she's awesome. So, hey, if you're not into it, no problemo. Just find something that you like to do on the internet. Find these short workouts. Keep it moving all day long. Maybe do one or two a day. It's no big deal, but you have to do something. Okay, we can't be looking at these guys doing this air sex that are like really large people that are kind of moving around. I don't know, people, in terms of the whole weight and everything, we're going to get into that in future shows. But there's no doubt that anybody, if you set your mind to it, you could start with 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, but keep the body moving. You will be successful. You will see results. It's going to improve your life without a doubt. And there you go. There's our health tip of the day. Keep it moving, and that's how you stay active all day. Well, let's roll right into it. Is Tuesday. Yesterday was Movie Monday. We critiqued November Man, if you recall that one. Well, if you didn't, go take a look. Again, latalkradio.com. You'll see that there. But today, it's my top 10 Tuesday. So Tuesdays, we're picking top 10. And here you go. My 10 most frightful pickup lines. I love this. I put this together. Oh, this was probably a little bit ago because it was around the time of Halloween. And I said, you know, we all know those ghastly pickup lines that could scare the skeleton out of you and that are mischievously laced with good old fashioned bullshit that's meant to keep you talking. Right, ladies? So let's get right into it here. Number one, you live around here? Come on, this is probably the most classic of frightful pickup lines that the most amateur of bad boys with no shot of scoring is going to lay out on you. He's just trying to bait you ladies into a conversation by asking you an innocent question. No chance, suckas. All right, number two. Where are you from? Wow. I mean, notice how these four simple words could spark a conversation. Hey, don't fall for it, ladies. Better yet, here's a great answer. You tell him, Barsoom. Remember that? The planet Mars from the Edgar Rice Burroughs and the sci-fi classic, John Carter. I really like that movie, by the way. The critics beat up on that, but I really enjoyed it. Right? Or if you want, you just give him a little sweet smile that says, yeah, it's cute, but not enough there, big boy. All right, number three, what's your name? Ouch. This one hurts just reading it. Right? I mean, look, if she wanted you to know her name, you chucklehead, then she would have introduced herself in the first place. Next. By the way, that's my favorite four-letter word. Next. Okay, number four. Haven't I seen you in the movies? Oh, my God. Now, this one for sure is an L.A. This is an L.A. phrase. All right, what do you think? She's an idiot? I mean, what do you mean? The movies. What are you talking about? We're talking about, like, the Titanic or Twilight or We Bought a Zoo? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, what the hell are you thinking? This is a weak attempt at a complimentary statement disguised as a question that will touch upon her deep, dark desire to be a starlet? Come on. Forget about it. Think again. It's unoriginal. It's a feeble attempt at flattery. It's not going to get you anywhere. All right, number five. You're really hot. Now, you know, there's no doubt that I've used this one time and time again. It doesn't work, no doubt. Come on, really? You think this one will work? Tell you guys, it doesn't work. I mean, yeah, you're some bozo think it's going to work. But again, forget about it. You're another chucklehead just trying to throw shit bullshit against the wall and hoping it'll stick. Good. Number six, don't I know you? Of course she doesn't know you, you idiot. Don't you know that women are smarter than men? And they usually pay more attention when first meeting someone. So especially if you're a wannabe gigolo like yourself who's trying to, what I say, pilfer her trick-or-treat bag, forget about it. If she already met you, then chances are you've already crashed and burned. Well, I'll try to hit on her. So forget about this one. This one does not work. All right, number seven. Have we met before? Now, notice how these are all questions, right? It's like when someone, I hate this, when someone sends me a text or an email and it ends with a question. It's like they got to keep the conversation going. And you say to yourself, I'm not answering that. I don't want to be bothered with that question. But then for the next thought is, well, if I don't say anything, you know, the girl's going to get upset. Like, what the hell? What's up with the questions, right? Yes, have we met before? Come on, guys. This is another feeble attempt at striking up a conversation by asking an innocent question that requires her. This one actually requires her to really look at you before answering. I mean, it's a tricky one, ladies. It's the one that sneaks up on you, but don't be fooled, right? If you met him before, you already know he's probably haunted by the 50 shades of playerdom. Next. All right, here's another one. Number 8. Is that you, Vanessa? Or put in any other name, Rosemary. Forget about it. This is definitely one of those classic trick-or-treat lines, right? Look, if he's wrong, then who's he think you are? A two-bit hussy who doesn't leave an impression? Okay? And if you met him before, well, guess what? You're gonna remember the guy, right? Especially if you made a connection. But here's what's interesting. If this bozo or this wannabe gigolo actually guesses correctly, hey, then go for it, ladies. I mean, maybe he's telling the truth. Or maybe he's a real psychic, you know, like Jeannie McDonald. And hey, what the hell? Give it a go. You never know where the hell that's going to go. All right, number 9. Ooh, this is another one I've used time and time again. You have beautiful eyes, or any other synonym for beautiful. Once again, right? Here you go. What does that mean when he says that, right? Because any subjective comment complimenting a woman's asset, right, her eyes, whether it be that or whatever the asset is, it's purely subjective, right? It's usually full of gigolo bullshit. It's meant to move the conversation forward. What are guys trying to do, ladies? They're trying to move it forward, right? They got to keep you going. Don't be fooled. If you have beautiful eyes, you have a wonderful smile, great legs, whatever, you already know it. You've been told it a million times. So beware of all these Mr. Right Nows. Forget about it. And number 10. Do you believe in love at first sight? Here we go. We got a question. All right. Give me a break, guys. Give me a break. What decade do you think this is? The psychedelic 60s where peace and love is all the rage? Come on. You could do better than this. That's embarrassing, right? If you were truly blessed with love at first sight, you wouldn't have to inquire about it. It'll just happen. And because it's meant to happen and the universe wants it to be. I know, you know, it sounds like a lot of Zen master mumbo jumbo that's not fit for a player like you. But guess what, you ethereal chucklehead, right? Forget about it and put those frightful pickup lines to bed. Amen. There you go, folks. That's my 10 top 10 most frightful pickup lines. And on that note, hey, Troy. Troy just walked in the studio. She's...
Hey, Richie Rich, how are you?
Oh, I love that. Troy's one of the very few women that calls me Richie Rich, and I love it because she's a sweetheart. Well, let me just give a quick introduction to Troy. Beautiful woman here, guys, by the way. All right, so Troy was raised, she has a beautiful, everything about her, way to hear her speak. Raised in London and Amsterdam, one of my favorite cities there. She moved back to Los Angeles in 2007. That's when we met. We met in 2007. And, well, we'll talk about that. She spent 2 years on the BCC's BAFTA award-winning serial drama called EastEnders. There were 20 million viewers that were watching that show, right? And that show led her to other work, stage tours, actually where she met her husband. She's now married. She has a little son. I mean, we'll get into that. She's produced 4 shorts and a docudrama with me. Troy was the associate producer of Boulevard Zen. Boulevard Zen's the film. You want to check that out? Again, check out my website, richtoll.com. You can check it out. It's a 1-hour documentary. Troy plays my best friend, Kat. And I'll give you a little story about that. When we were acting in acting class together, and I was coming up with all these ideas, and I wrote a screenplay called Yoga Burn at first. And Troy and I, you remember Troy, we would always meet at the Cafe 101 on Franklin.
That's right.
We would meet at the cafe. We would always come up with these ideas. And I'm like, Troy, I got something here. And then it kind of keep evolving. And so anyway, long story short, I said, we turned Yoga Burn into a 1-hour, like a docudrama. It's all fictional, but it's all about how people use yoga to overcome adversity in their lives. And Troy will talk about what she had to overcome in that film as her character, Kat. And she recently set a theater company called Critical Action Theater Company, and she produced a play called Frozen, by Byronie Lavery, which, by the way, I love that, Troy. And so on that note, Troy, because I went to see her in that, and I'm going to ask you, you were amazing. I don't know how the hell you remembered. You were in so many places, and I always say I've never done a play that to that extent where it's like, how do you even remember the lines, Troy? So anyway, let's say hello to Troy and
hello everybody. Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here. And you are just awesome. My goodness. You're so New York.
I'm so New York.
You're so New York.
So East Coast.
I love it.
Right?
East Coast. The West Coast.
Love it. Love it. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt, Troy, with the East Coast vibe. I mean, I thought that would set me apart here, which I guess it has, but... this is a tough town, right, Troy?
You've been here since 2000.
Now, guys, this woman here, when you see a picture, that you got to say to yourself, how in the world? Hey, there's a lot of actors in the world, right? She's extremely talented, extremely beautiful. And you say, wait a minute. You know, you got to scratch your head. I do. I say, how come folks like yourself, Troy, who have everything, the whole package, how come it's not like, boom, you're all doing your own series over there?
Well, you know, it's opportunity has to present itself, and it's timing, and it's the universe. It's a lots of different things. But I think the key to going through life on this journey, especially, you know, the entertainment business, is to remain grounded and to keep going. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And if you truly love what you do and it makes you happy, then you have to go with it. You know, the minute something becomes a chore or you start losing yourself, your own identity in it because of the struggle, because you feel like, you know, you are the best person for the job, yet, you know, you're in your living room, very talented, and no one can see you, and casting directors don't know about you. You know, you can have a hard time and be hard on yourself, be hard on the industry, feel bad about yourself, and not want to get out of bed. But guess what? You know, there's two sides to a coin. You got to look at the other side, the positive side. We have sunshine here, and, you know, I'm breathing, and I get to work out. I can go to the beach and work out. Yeah, and I think that we're on this planet for such a short time, really. I do my best to have a great time with my life and not dwell so much on the fact that, you know, yes, I should have my own series.
No.
And be kicking some butt in some of these, you know, major Hollywood blockbusters, because I can do my own stunts.
The Expendables. I'd love to see you in the Expendables. The next one, we got to get Troy in there, because Troy is truly a fitness scout too. But no, you're right, Troy. I mean, I remember back when I first started in New York City, I was with Penny Templeton. She was look her up. She has a book out there now, Acting Lions. But Penny brought in, first time I ever met an agent, and this woman, I forget her name, but this woman sat up there and she said, you know, you want to come into this business? She goes, that's great. She goes, but you should actually find a place where you want to live, where you want to spend your life, and if you love your craft, go to that place and make it happen. I mean, look at from John Hamm from Mad Men, he was in St. Louis. So it doesn't really matter. If you're out there, if you're a creative person, I mean, what Troy's saying is you got to stay in there. Like the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step, but right. You got to keep making steps. I mean, that's what I believe. Since 2007, I put out my first Yoga to Go video, where it was January of 2007, and I just keep creating content. That's what Troy's been doing. There's no doubt. I mean, going from all of the auditions and the handling all the rejection, because people, there's a ton of rejection. And no matter what you're doing in life, if you're out there searching for a new job, it doesn't matter. You got to keep going. If you believe in yourself and your heart's in it, you're going to find a way. If there's a will, there's a way. I believe that. Troy's testament to that. She's still standing. That's what I say. There's a lot of people. I say that. I just had a conversation with someone yesterday about coming to Los Angeles. I think the guys, I said this, guys last 2-3 years. Women, 5 or 6 years. They last like twice as long because they're going on twice as many auditions. I never went on a lot of auditions. I know you probably did, but you get rejected. And it's a silent rejection. I talk about this in my memoir. There's a couple of chapters. And if you want to read more about Troy and our experience, you'll read in Simply Between Millions, From Wall Street to Hollywood. There's a few chapters in there, especially number 59, Let's Make a Movie, number 60, Good Things Come in Threes, number chapter 61, Best Day of My Life, is when I want to tell you a little story. I want to tell you, Troy, you're going to remember this. Troy, I'll tell you, she's awesome. Troy was awesome. We're going to shoot this film. So Troy's one of the associate producers. Aside from spending 30 days getting ramped up, putting the cast together, and getting ready. So the day of the shoot, remember this was October. I think it was October 3rd was the day we shot. It was going to be a long day. So Troy shows up. This is no bullshit. Now, at his bungalow in Hollywood, she shows up at 3:30 in the morning. Now, Troy's working a 12-hour shift from 3:30 to 3:30. And her scenes, she's not going to be on camera till probably like 11 or 12. So the whole first part of the day, 3:30 in the morning, she's got food. We're clearing out the bungalow with furniture. We're getting ready the set, right? The first people arrived around 5 o'clock. And we had to do some voiceovers outside. If you recall, we had, it was challenging. It's pitch black out, right? We're quiet. We got the whole crew there, the microphones. Now, Troy's, and now I'm in the first scene. So, well, actually, I was in, well, the voiceover, but the very first scene, we're in my kitchen. I'll never forget this, Troy. We're in the kitchen, and I'm nervous, okay? This is like, I got to step out of the kitchen, and then boom, there's like a camera crew, because it's a documentary. So we're following around this kid, Elliot, who's another great actor, which
Whitmer.
Whitmer Thomas. He was awesome. We'll got to get him in here. So here I am. So first take, I walk out, and I'm like, I like froze. All right. Second take, I walk out. I'm like, so all of a sudden, Troy. Now, the name of my production company is called Two Strike Hitter Productions. So I come back in the kitchen. I'm all flustered. She puts her hands on my shoulders, and she looks at me. She calms me down, and she goes, Richie Rich, you're the Two Strike Hitter. You got this. And I'm like, and I just totally realized, Troy, you remember that? I was like, Troy, because you really, Troy was like the director. I mean, it's challenging when you're doing a film, especially when we shot for 15 hours that day. I mean, we shot this whole film.
But that's what you do as an associate producer. You got to get the job done. And I can wear many hats. And right now, that was my hat to wear, was to get you in that room and focused. And I knew, of course, that you could do it, but you were wearing so many hats, and you just had to come out of, you know, director and producer and getting it all together person and be Bobby, you know.
Yeah, Bobby D'Angelo.
You had to be right there. Yeah, and it was great. And you are the two-strike hitter, you know.
Well, here I am, right? How many years later?
Exactly.
No, that's what you got to do, folks. She's right. I mean, it's a lot different when you're Leonardo DiCaprio, when you got your nice trailer and, you know, he's preparing and he walks out and the whole, it's like he parts the Red Sea when he comes out. I mean, that guy is, to me, he's one of the best ever. But, you know, it's a whole different story when you're wearing, you know, when you're doing it. And that's what it is. And that's what Troy's talking about. You got to keep moving forward. You got to keep creating content. If you're someone who's an artist, I don't care if you're a musician, keep doing it. Keep doing it. And what I said, I just had a conversation the other day where it's like, even if you're creating, even if you're a writer, keep writing. Put it aside. Register your work. I got this. I look at it as like a big chest. You know, it's like a big chest full of jewels. Well, your jewels are your content. Put your content in there. Because one day, I mean, Christoph Waltz, I heard it took him 17 years. This guy was, and they said, oh, what's it like to make it overnight? He's like, what are you talking about? 17 years. That's not, again, I said it yesterday. Mm-hmm. An overnight success in this town takes 10 years. So there's no doubt. Someone like Troy, you'll get your chance, right? Eventually, I believe that.
Yeah, I believe it. I think you have to change your mindset. And a lot of people, especially in this day and age, feel entitled. I deserve this. I deserve that. And we don't, you know, deserve entitlement. No, not good words. You know, life isn't fair. You know, someone will get a different opportunity and be able to turn that into something. You might be more talented than that person, but that person knows somebody that you don't or has an opportunity. But you can't look at that. You've got to look at your own path and what can you do? What can you do to make things better? What can you do to propel yourself forward? You know, if you are a writer, write every day.
No doubt.
If you're an actor, act every day.
No doubt.
If you're a yoga practitioner, practice every day.
Right.
You know?
Got it.
You just got to keep going and stay positive and stay around positive people. You know?
That's critical.
Yeah,
Staying around positive people. Don't be bringing people into your life. We'll get into that in future shows, but there's no doubt. Negativity, because that's what this is all about. There's inspiration comes from everywhere, right? No matter who you are. But you got to surround yourself with positive people. Don't be letting people drag you down. I did a podcast about that. Don't be a storm cloud. Don't be a storm cloud in anyone's life because it doesn't serve you well. Again, folks, do what serves you well. If it doesn't serve you well, if it serves you well to keep creating and you believe in yourself, it's not a concept of, oh, it's going to take me this long, or I got to give up. It's not about that. You know it deep down inside. Say there's that little birdie inside. You're going to know if this is the right field. Look at Troy. Troy's journey. I never want to look at her with a little boy, but keeps going. And I said, let's talk about this play, Troy, because this play was awesome. Ooh. And you were, wow, I mean, talk about heartfelt and up and down on the roller coaster. That was awesome, and you had the baby boy, and you, how many hours a day? Because that was a long, that was awesome.
Well, so Anthony and I set up the Critical Action Theatre Company, because again, it's not about waiting for people to give you an opportunity. Create our own opportunities and create the work, not just for us, but for other people. We want to produce good, critical, thought-provoking work in LA. So our first play, Frozen, as you said, by Bryony Lavery, very dark. And for me, it was the first time, well, Anthony said he wouldn't have cast me if I hadn't have had our son, because he wanted somebody who could be authentic as a mother. So the story is of a missing child and a paedophile murderer and the power of forgiveness. So, yes, a long roller coaster of a journey. And I do feel that because I had had my son, I could really connect. I personally, as the actor, of course, think I can play any role, you know. So, but obviously, Anthony was like, I would never have cast you in the role had you not had a child.
Makes sense.
So, but I can't say whether or not I would have been as good as I was, or, you know, as well received as I was, had I not had Hendrix, who's my son. But it was one of those plays that it is thought provoking. How do you forgive somebody who has kidnapped your child, abducted your child, and then sexually assaulted her, and then, you know, done away with her, and you don't know what's going on for 20 years? Mm. I mean, how do you forgive that person? So, you know, paedophilia is something that cannot be cured, okay? Mm. The rehab rates are 1%. Mm. So these people cannot be rehabilitated. And the fact that the internet, unfortunately, has allowed these people to exist, and they now feel normal. It's been going on for time immemorial. But before, you were an outcast. You had to do it in the privacy of your own little room on your own. Now you have allies. Now there are rings all over the world and all the way up to the top of governments. You know, we're experiencing this, especially in the UK. I'm sure there's going to be a big story shortly about it. So we felt that something like that was thought-provoking, but also very 21st century, very current, very
definitely,
now.
Definitely is.
You know, even though this was, you know, set in 2004 and then, you know, the 1980s. But it's still prevalent today, unfortunately.
No doubt.
And we have to protect our children. When I go to the park with Hendrix, I'm very aware. And I
need to be.
And I feel I can spot a paedophile from a mile away. Mm. You know,
wow.
And it's about,
you're like a hawk. You got to be a hawk.
You do. Because again, and has my thought changed on these people? Yes, it has somewhat, because I know that it's a disease that cannot be cured.
Right. And that touches about the play that was all about, you know, speaking of which, this is interesting. I grew up, remember, you know, Megan's Law, which was
yes. Yeah.
This is, I grew up less than a mile from that house. I played on those streets. And back, I grew up in the 60s, right? I'm a little older, 70s. Yeah, you could ride your bike. I remember my mother we would leave the house. It was safe. They were confident that you stayed on the block. We would stay on this block, and she'd be yelling at 5 o'clock for dinner, come on in. But we would leave the house at 9 in the morning, and we'd end up at Cindy's house or Joey's house or Johnny's house. Everybody knew each other.
Climbing trees.
Yeah, trees in the woods. I mean, we put the woods on fire one day, I remember. We burned the woods down.
Of course
Forget
you did.
About it. Yeah, I think I did that, amongst other things, in the woods.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Spin the bottle.
Oh, dear.
That
Richie
was big.
Rich.
Oh, my God.
Of course you did.
We used to play, you know, that was awesome. I remember, I don't really want to get into that, but I think it's the first time I saw a gal naked. No, but this play, here's what else I want to bring up with the play. you break the fourth wall, which
yeah,
it's interesting. Let's talk about what the fourth wall is for those of you who do not know what that fourth wall is. Troy, talk about that and why did that occur? It was interesting.
Well, it's to bring the audience in, you know. Breaking the fourth wall, if you think of a box that has four sides, you take in account that fourth wall in, you know, normal stage plays. But in this particular play, we broke the fourth wall so that we could make it intimate within the audience. Actually, it's in the script. And that way, the audience feel a part of it. They're there on the journey with you. You're not supposed to be comfortable during this play. This play isn't a play that you sit back and relax. This is a play where you're on the edge of your seat.
You are.
And where you are gripping the sides of the chair, because it just goes from one thing to the other, and you have to stay with it. Because the way that the author has, the way that the playwright, Bryony Lavery, has written it, is she flits backwards and forwards to present day, to,
it's, yeah,
you know.
You got to stay with it.
You got to stay with it. But the narrative is very clear, and also it's based upon truth. These are real, real lines spoken by real people who've lost their children. And they're based upon a psychologist who was in talks with Ted Bundy, all the most the most prolific serial killers. Yes, the psychologist psychologist in the play, Serena Bernay, had to do all her research. My research was based upon Rose and Fred West, who were awful killers of children in the UK. And so these people were real to me. So every time I went on stage, I was telling their story. And I felt a service. I had to make sure that I kept the spirit of the person who I'm speaking of alive, even though in the play it was my daughter. But this in real life was Lucy Partington. And she was found 20 years after she was murdered.
Wow.
Her remains.
I didn't know that at all about that.
Oh, yes. It's all based upon
truth. It was intense. I remember. Well, just to get back to this fourth wall for folks, I mean, what Troy's saying is, like, with actors, what it is you're in a room and you don't break through that wall to interact with the audience. You're sort of self-contained. That's why it feels so real, right? You don't even know where the camera is, but when you're on a stage, it's really interesting where Troy will walk to the front of the stage and then break that wall, and then all of a sudden it's a little intimidating as the audience. You're like, wow, she's talking to me. And it's like, holy cow, it was intense. I remember, my friend that I brought to the play was like, oh my God, couldn't believe it. But that was awesome. I really enjoyed it. So when's the next? You got another play coming up, I'm hoping.
2015. Working? We're actually looking at the great American classic, A Death of a Salesman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Cause,
Arthur Miller.
Arthur Miller.
Wow.
Because that's such a prolific, amazing play. And again, people are going... People are Willie Lomans all over America right now.
No doubt.
So it's such a great story. And so we really would like to do that. So that's kind of in the works right now.
And it takes time, folks, to prepare for this. Yeah, you don't wake up and say, oh, next month we're going to do a play. No.
Yeah. Unless you have Mr. Geffen involved.
Oh, of course. Let's give him a call. I got to get him on the show. See if he'll produce that.
Yeah, exactly. And then I can get it done in
You're
six
done.
Weeks, you know.
Time and money.
Time and money.
Everything is right. It's right. All about... Well, that's pretty exciting for 2015. Now, let's talk about fitness, because Troy, I mean, let's talk about your background. This woman is in tip-top shape after having a child as well.
Well, I kind of put the pressure on myself for that. I'm still not as great as I would like to be, but, you know, I work out. I think it's really important. And having been a woman who worked all the way up until she started contracting at 12 o'clock, you know, in the neighborhood in Sherman Oaks, worked out right up until the end. I would advocate that all women who are planning to get pregnant, because, you know, more often than not these days, people plan children.
Sure.
So they should plan a year in advance to get their fitness regime. I don't know why, you know, we have all this nesting 2 weeks before to take it easy. I'm thinking labor is like boot camp. You know, I went in there like, okay, I'm doing a cycling class. My contractions are 90 seconds long. That is a sprint, okay, on the bike because I teach spinning.
Right.
And that's how I dealt with them. I literally went in there and went, okay, I know that my body can do this, but I need to be fit and focused. And I treated it like I was on a ride, on a journey. And I loved it. I mean, I'm sure there's some women out there who hated their pregnancies, but I loved mine because I was still teaching body works. I was lifting weights because I'd already done that and always done that. So my doctor said, yeah, fine, carry
keep
on.
Keep going.
Keep going.
It's positive.
And it was the best. And so thereafter, I started working out with Hendrix. I had my baby Bjorn, had him on the front. I was doing squats, knee lifts. I used him like a dumbbell, you know, did my triceps and, you know, core exercises. We did push-ups, you know, all sorts.
No doubt. Hey, before and after, here's my sister. My sister, when she had her first child, I remember, well, she was in good shape before, stayed in shape. But I remember the baby wasn't real great. My niece wasn't real great at sleeping, so she got a treadmill. And she would lay the baby next to the treadmill, and the humming. And my sister would say, she would get on this thing for like an hour, 90 minutes, because she would sleep. Like, imagine, I couldn't get her to take a nap. My sister, within, I'm not kidding, maybe 3 months after she had the child, looked better than she ever looked in her life. And she's like, yeah, that's because the baby wouldn't sleep until, I mean, there's no doubt women out there, look, take heed. Stay in shape before, stay in shape during the pregnancy, right up for as long as you can, as healthy as you can, if you can.
Right.
And then afterward, how quickly after? Troy, is it 2 weeks later, a month, a week?
No, doctors recommend 6 to 8 weeks, depending on which type of delivery you had. So if you have a C-section, you definitely have to wait like 8 weeks. If you have a vaginal birth, then you can 4 to 6 weeks. Because you still carry the hormones, the relaxin, and so you don't want to have all your, you want to wait for your pelvis to shift back into position before you start putting any pressure on it. So walking, you can walk right away, but I'm talking about heavy jumping around, doing cardio, kickboxing and stuff like that. But there is no reason why you can't, you know, get right back into shape. Normally it's about sleep deprivation, which is why people don't work out in those early stages. But I think if you can stay fit and healthy during your pregnancy, your baby is going to be so healthy and, you know, will probably have great muscle tone and sleep well and eat well, you know, because, and their heart will be great, in great shape. So there's so many benefits to working out.
And you're leading by example, which I always say, even during the pregnancy, because hey, I think the child knows it, no doubt. Everything you're putting into your body, doing to your body, is passed along to this child.
And also then you're breastfeeding, and so you want to eat healthily, you want to, you know, you still want to work out. So you just take the baby with you. Even if you have your stroller and you don't have a personal trainer, you can go to the park, you can take the stroller, you can jog with it. There are loads of things that you can do to stay fit and healthy. So I think now we really don't have an excuse not to work out.
Oh,
you know?
Well, especially if you live in this town.
That's especially. I mean, when it's raining, like in London, you know, everyone's like, oh, my gosh, you're outside and, you know, down by the beach, I'm running and stuff like that. They get very jealous. But I do definitely take advantage of my environment for sure, you know. And I'm a martial artist.
So
I have to kick butt.
She's
got to
kick butt. So, hey, take heed or take notice for what Troy's saying. Hey, stay in shape. You know, keep it all real. So, Troy, we have a couple minutes more here, and I like to do the fast five. This is going to be, I'm just going to throw five at you. You're going to pick one, A or B. You'll see. And
you'll
say the answer. Number one, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Chocolate.
All right, of course. I knew that one.
Yeah.
Tropical island or New York City?
Tropical island.
Really?
Yes.
I would have said New York City. You are? Okay, well, I guess I should know that. She's exotic. What the hell are we talking about? Ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Oh, ancient Rome.
Oh, of course.
Helen of Troy. Come on now.
You know, and you know, Troy, here's what's interesting. Helen of Troy. I was originally going to make this like ancient Babylonia, which you're sort of, you have this sort of Egyptian thing going on to me.
Yes. Cleopatra looked,
Or
I looked somewhat
you
like
looked
her.
You look somewhat like her. Right. All right. Number four, tearjerker or action thriller?
Oh, that's difficult.
Why is that difficult?
Oh, you, I think I know where. Because I love both.
Gotta pick
one.
All right,
action thriller.
I knew that. Come on, because Troy's gonna. Yeah, but you like the tearjerker. I like the tearjerkers too.
Yeah,
yeah. We reviewed November Man yesterday, which was like a spy thriller. But I did see the Expendables, the most recent one. Like I said, Troy, you could have been in that one for sure. All right, the last one: Candlelight Dinner or Picnic in the Park.
Oh, Candlelight Dinner.
Nice. Now, is your husband making you some candlelight dinners, or are you,
No.
No,
we're definitely more Picnic in the Park people.
That's what I thought.
Well, because, you know, we have the baby, and my husband likes to involve Hendrix in everything. We do. We love him to pieces. He comes everywhere. But yes, I am hankering after a nice candlelight dinner with my husband.
You need one. Get yourself a babysitter.
Yeah.
Get yourself.
It's coming. It's on the cards.
It's on the cards. No doubt. That's Jeannie. You got to go see Jeannie. Let her throw some cards for you and, you know, get you through that. No, you're doing all. Troy, you look awesome. I'll tell you, it's always great to see you. I'm so glad. Folks, I wanted Troy for the first week because I love this woman. She's the people you'll see, the folks here that are coming in. There, you got amazing positive energy. And, hey, if you want to get some inspiration, go check out Troy Titus Adams. That's her stage name. And look her up. She's got a lot of great things coming 2015 for sure. We're going to see some new work from Troy. Love to have you out there. I will talk about it when the show will be cooking by then. So we'll promote you then too as well. So yeah, we had a good time today, right, guys? We had another great guest. And so for tomorrow, tune in. We're going to be there's two yoginis, two of my favorite yoga teachers. I don't know if you've ever met. Troy, did you come to the rooftop benefit at the.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
so
I did.
Then you go.
Yeah.
Then you remember Jesse Harper.
Yeah.
And Linda Baffa.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, those two are coming in.
Cool.
We're gonna rock it out for Wellness Wednesdays, and we're gonna rock it out with some yoga teachers. So hey, because hey, I'm Rich Tola, and what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.